change the locks. So here she is, she's Sarah Frazier, brought to you by Fox. I said she still has the key card and they never change the locks. So here she is, she's Sarah Frazier, brought to you by Fox. Let's go.
Steve Shenavy is finally on I Still Have a Key Card.
This whole radio thing takes me back in the day, Sarah. How are you?
Steve, can you imagine you and me doing a radio show?
Because we talked about it 1,000 times. Of course I can think about that.
What would it be called?
Would we just
be like the hot morning mess? Or would we be like the hungover
Emphasis
morning
on mess more than hot, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be like completely...
We would start out as the hot morning mess, and then after about a month, they'd be like, you're just the mess now, okay? So we're going to rebrand you guys, because that's typically how it works, right?
Hey, it's 96.5, the mess.
Hey, it's Steve and Sarah.
It's 6:27, and are you ready, Steve, for sports?
I kind of think morning mess has a great ring to it. I'm down with it.
I am so excited that you're on this podcast, because I have to ask you this. I feel like you maybe were not a fan of this whole idea of, like, the anchors, the talent, coming, sitting down on this podcast. And you can be completely honest with me. You will not hurt my feelings.
No, here's the thing, and this is, I think there's a lot of people that may take things the wrong way. You know how it is. Like, you don't really know anybody. You read into them. You see what it is. You see what you want to see. And then you buy into it. Not ever that I'm not a fan of it. You know I love you, and you know I love radio, and you know I love now podcasts, which is basically radio better than we ever did it back in the day. But it's just I'm just not like, I don't put my whole life out there, you know? And it's just like, that's kind of the way this industry is going.
Right.
But I've just never been like that. I'm just like, look, work is work, and personal playtime is personal playtime. And somewhere you have to find that bridge in the middle. And that's kind of the way I always looked at it. It's just now that that middle is no longer the middle. Now that middle is more weighing toward one side or the other.
So, I mean, I know you get pressure all the time to be, like, more personal, more social media, be out there. Do you think that if news just said, no, we're not going to do that, we're going to stick to being news, that it would work? Or do you feel like you do have to conform?
Well, no, it's definitely changing. It's definitely changing, and I recognize that, and I think you're a fool if you don't recognize that, because it does have to change. But I also think that the industry, I think, is... So you have a younger generation right now that is just growing up with online, strictly digital. All right?
Right.
So that's what people, you always look for the younger people as far as who you want to target, because you're going to have them with you longer, theoretically, right?
Right.
So you look at what the younger trends are, and you're like, we need to appease to this. But at the same time, you can't alienate the people who have been there, because then you get the older folks who are just like, what's all this extra stuff that's going on? And now I'm not finding out what I wanted to find out. So that's the magic, is trying to bridge all that together and make sure that you don't go too one way or another.
Okay, let's go back and talk about how you started. Because did you want to be a journalist?
How much time do you have? Because this might take 17 hours
well,
and be a four-part series.
I have tons of questions for you. I mean,
ooh,
I have to get to... I heard that you were like an amateur weightlifter at one point. I have to talk about that.
I think somebody saw one picture from the Grand Canyon 50 years ago and was just like, wow, you must have lifted weights. Yeah, when I was 24, I sure did.
Okay. All right, we have a lot to get to. So we'll have to get the abbreviated version. But you started in radio. So did you want to be like a radio jock, or did you always want to be in journalism?
So I didn't want to do any of it. Let's take a trip back in time. Okay, so I grew up in a very small town. And when people think small town, they think like Centerville, Virginia. No, I'm talking about no more than 2,000 people with no other towns around and lots of farms.
So I love it.
Not a lot of opportunity there. But there was a small liberal arts college in my hometown, maybe 1,000 students. And when I was in 10th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, something like that, they picked a few of us and they were like, hey, you guys kind of work in communication, speech class, whatever it was that we did. They're like, we want to do a high school radio show on the college radio station. Sarah, I'm telling you, this was like, you're going to laugh at me.
Oh, I can relate.
College radio station was a 110-watt station.
Okay.
Meaning there's more power in your light bulb than was coming out of the transmitter of this radio station.
But did you have a broadcasting radius at all?
Campus and a little bit off campus. But
okay.
That was the town.
I mean, okay, like, that was like the whole town.
All right. 2,000 people.
There you go.
So, anyway, I made the cut. I don't really remember auditioning, but I made the cut. And so there was me and a couple of my friends and I ended up getting the show. And we did it on weekends in, like, 10th grade. So then I was kind of like, okay, this radio thing's kind of cool. Like, every once in a while, somebody would call us back and be like, hey, I heard you guys on the air. This is awesome. So it transitioned into a summer job for a while, and I got to DJ like on a college station. Nobody's listening, but it was like whatever. They paid us minimum wage, which I think at the time was like $3.50 an hour or something.
Oh my
God. Like work a full day for like $18. It was crazy. But anyway, so I did that. I went to college, and when I went to college, I was like, after a summer doing that radio, I was like, this is silly. I'm not going to do this. Like, I'm going to distance myself. That was fun, but now I want a career, in air quotes.
And was the career always journalism?
No, it sure wasn't. I started as a math major.
Really?
Yeah.
So what did you want to be? Were you going to teach? Were you going to do just work in mathematics? Okay.
I was one of those rare people that actually enjoyed math class. And
I
see your shocked face.
That's amazing.
So, I didn't know. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I knew I liked that. So I said, well, let me go to school and try that. So I went my freshman year and immediately regretted it because, you know, it's freshman year of college. Everybody's out having fun. And I'm taking college level physics classes my freshman year.
Oh,
and I was like, this is
brutal.
And it just consumed all this time. And then I started thinking, after I get to college, kids don't do this, make the plan ahead of time. What am I going to do with this? You know, like, am I going to be an engineer? Am I going to teach? And none of that, like, seemed fun at the time. And I didn't like where I was going to school. So I looked to transfer and I said, well, maybe this radio communication thing can work. You know, let me look into it. A couple of my buddies were already at a different college. They were majoring in communication. They had a TV show. They were actually like, they were junior Kevins. They were like doing TV reviews or movie reviews. And so I said, well, let me look at different schools. And I said, well, okay, where are the best schools? And it was like at the time, Missouri, Syracuse, New York University. And I was like, well, I mean, I grew up in a town of 2,000 people. We had zero money to travel, like nothing. I was like,
yeah,
if I can get money out of this deal, I will go to your school. And I actually got a scholarship to go to Syracuse. And
wow.
Which is like one of the premier
what a great school,
schools.
Yeah.
And so I went up there. And I mean, I'm like 18 years old, you know, so I get to go to Syracuse and I was just like, this is going to be amazing. And of course, I go check out the football field first. I was like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch the games. And this is probably in August. And then I remember like the first night I was there, I didn't accept the offer. I just went up to check it out and meet with everybody. And the first night I walked outside and I was like, I need a jacket. I was like, this is like August.
Welcome to Northern New York.
I was like,
yeah.
This is crazy. And I grew up in like Northern Pennsylvania. And I was just like, no. This is like 1,000 times worse. And they were just like, yeah, it's probably going to snow in another month. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. So I am the only person to probably turn down a Syracuse scholarship because I
of
was
the weather.
A weather woman.
I can appreciate that.
I totally did it.
I can appreciate that.
So I ended up going to Clarion University, which is a state school outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And a couple of my buddies were there. They were already working TV. And so I went and I just dove right into their broadcast TV program. And I loved it. And I started covering sports, like college sports.
Yeah.
And like our big stud on campus at the time was Kurt Angle, now the WWE wrestler.
Oh my goodness.
I know, I'm old. Look, let's not worry about that.
No. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, he was in school the same time I was.
That's amazing.
And he was already an All-American wrestler. And so I was, you know, being this young person that was just like, if I'm going to set my mind to it, I'm going to do it. So I'm all in on this TV thing now. So I was working for the college newspaper, doing TV stuff, and I'm covering sports. And I was like, well, I want the best beat that's out there. So let me find the best beat. Well, wrestling was the only Division I program we had.
Oh, my
so
God.
So I was like, I want the wrestling beat. So they're like, okay, did you ever wrestle? I was like, well, when I was in eighth grade, they said, how'd you do? I said, I lost every match I was in. I said, I won the first one because the kid was 73 pounds, and, like, I was maybe 90, and he was the only other small one. And then after that, I lost every match. So they were just like, and you still want to do this? I was like, sure. So I basically like wrote stories about Kurt Angle for like my first year in college, and then did the TV stuff, and then kind of got hooked from there.
Okay, so you graduate from college, and with all this experience, I'm assuming, do you land like a TV gig?
Yeah,
right out?
Straight in Washington, D.C. First week out of college. Nailed it. Making six figures.
Done.
It was a beautiful time.
So what ended up being your first broadcast journalism job?
I started out in radio and went back to one of the local radio stations, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, WBZY, AM 1200. Worked there as a DJ on the weekends, playing 70s classic, as Tucker would call it, yacht rock, if you have Sirius XM. Did that on the weekends. worked the newsroom in the afternoons from like 3 to 6. But before that, I worked at a golf course in the morning from 6 until noon.
Yeah.
So I'd get up at 4:30, go to the golf course, work there from 6 until noon, grab lunch, go to work at the radio station from like 2 to 6, 3 to 6, whatever it was, afternoon drive, you know, doing news. And then go back to the radio station on the weekends and do music, and I had no life.
So how long was that grind?
So I found a job in a town that I had never heard of before that I had to literally look up, either online or on a map, however we did it back then. And then I called him, and I was just like, hey, like, I'm kind of interested. They're like, okay, come out. So I went, and this is central Pennsylvania, kind of maybe an hour from Penn State. And I went out there. I'd never heard of it before. Walked around. Didn't love it, but I was just like, I got to do something. I want to go wherever. And they actually was a radio newsroom that had three reporters. And I was like, what radio newsroom has three people dedicated to news? That was a lot.
Yeah, that's huge.
So I went, and that's basically where I learned how to, like, turn stories. And, you know, it's just like we would do a TV news package, but we were doing it on a radio. Yeah.
So, okay, fast forward us. How long have you been here at Fox?
Oh, my God. Well, I started here in January of 2003.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So you're going on, what, 13 years?
Yeah.
And Fox. Yeah. Okay. So you work your way up. You get here. Is this the largest market you've ever worked in?
Yeah. So I did all that stuff in Wilkes-Barre. Worked sports there part-time and then got a full-time news job in Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay.
So I was Youngstown for 3 years, Pittsburgh for 3 years, and then came down here because I just was like, you know, it was I kind of wanted to just try something else.
What an amazing opportunity.
So Sean Yancey, of course, who's here.
Well, yes.
Good friends with Sean, our main anchor. Sean and I had worked in Pittsburgh at the same time, and Sean had come down here, and I said, talked to her about, like, D.C., and I had some friends that were another station in D.C., and so Sean was just like, yeah, like, come on by, like, I'll tell the boss you're stopping by, and so I thought I was coming here just to say hi to people, and it was, like, a six-hour interview,
audition,
like, full-on thing. I was, like, sitting across from, like, six managers, like, throwing questions at me in scenarios, like, all, like, exhausting. And I'm just like, hey, let's do this, you know, let's see what happens.
Wow.
So I go through all that, and then at the end of the day, our old manager, she's not here anymore, but I loved working for her because she was just very real about things.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, this whole thing, like, she just sits me down, and she's like, I like you. I was like, okay, good. She's like, I have an opening, full-time opening. I was like, great. She's like, not going to give it to you.
Oh, no.
I was like, what?
Okay.
She's just like, yeah, no, you're not ready for that. But if you want to freelance for us, you know, work a couple days a week or whatever it is, she's like, you know, just let me know.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that
crazy? So you take that, and I'm assuming you end up taking the freelance, and then it turns into
so I went home, and it was like December, and I went back to Pittsburgh, and I had a full-time offer in Tampa at the time, and I was just like, literally was like trying to...
Weigh which one?
Yeah, and I was talking to Tampa, and I was like, well, I'd love to work here. But I kind of want to be in D.C., so maybe we can work in, like, something contractually. And then I was just like, no, this is stupid. Just go to D.C.
Just take the
D.C. Just do it, you know?
So, okay, you have this career here, like we were talking about, at Fox. And I think there's just been this sort of, like, I don't know if it was a year and a half or this period of time that I want to ask you about where you weren't here.
Right.
And you were over across the street at WJLA.
Right.
Which, that seems to happen in the TV world and the radio world. We're a little bit, you know... Somebody will be for years at one station and then end up going somewhere else.
Right.
So tell me about how that happened.
So, I mean, I don't know how it happened. Like, they called and they're just
they
like,
called.
Come
they
over
made
here,
you an
you know?
Offer.
Yeah. It was a very kind of delicate time, and you know how it is, especially if you're talking about competition.
Yeah.
You know, you want to respect all sides involved, and the one thing that you don't want to do is anger either side, because you have to show respect. You know, one is going to be your future employer, one is going to be your previous, no matter which way you look at it. Or maybe your previous becomes your future again. You never know.
Yeah, you were very good, obviously, at not burning bridges, because, you know, you end up coming back. But
there was a lot of back and forth, and without getting into all the details, because some things you just can't talk about. But I will say this, I, in my heart, did not want to leave Fox.
Ah, got it.
You know, and so that, it actually became a lot harder on me at the time.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of back and forth going on behind the scenes. And I was kind of led to believe that I was still going to be here. And I literally I'd been visiting my parents down in Florida, and I got off the airplane and had a voicemail. saying pretty much the extent of good working with you. And it just, it crushed me. And I was okay, I guess that's that. And at that point, all you can do is embrace the future. And so I went into the situation, over the other place, just being like, well, look, I'm not going to act like I'm disappointed to be here because you guys are making a big deal and being very generous to me. So, we're going to do the best that we can.
So you're there at Channel 7 for how long?
Well, I was there like a year and a half, but I was only anchoring for 6 months.
Okay. And so you...
Maybe eight. I don't know.
And what was that for? Because of non-compete? Or do you have some sort of contractual issue?
Oh, no. They just didn't like me.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You take this job, and they're like, actually, you don't need to be on air.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, look, people think
it's
that this industry
this
is like
no,
this
it's the
awesome
worst.
Thing, right?
No, radio and TV are the worst. Like the entertainment business, music, all this, it is the hardest business. And that's what I've been so fascinated by all you guys, is almost everyone that I've interviewed ends up having such a great attitude. And I know all you guys have your moments of being jaded. I certainly do. Mm-hmm. I mean, radio, like when I first got in it, people would be like, oh, don't be jaded. I'd be like, what are they talking about? You know, and then fast forward 10 years, you're like, okay, get it.
Exactly.
Totally get it. But you guys have really kind of all found a way to thrive and sort of forgive and forget and move on. So I don't even know how you did that. I'm sure it was just like misery being there. You're not getting on air after years of working on air. So, but I think the biggest thing of this is because most people, when they leave a job, to some extent burn a bridge. So what I want to know is, how do you get to the point where you're obviously very miserable and you decide to call Fox again and see if they'll take you back? Like, that's big. I think that's huge.
First of all, what happened there was probably one of the lowest points in my career.
Okay.
Because there was a lot going on, and to be, to feel like you're being celebrated, and then almost immediately you feel like you didn't even really have that chance. And I'm not trying to say, because obviously I had that chance. You know, the opportunity was there. It didn't work out. I can't fault anyone else because obviously they have the right to put people where they want to put them.
Right.
And it's not like I was there a week and it just like, they're like, you stink, get out. So the opportunity was there. And I accept the responsibility of what I went there for didn't work out. But you just have to look at it like that. It didn't work out. At the time, impossible to see it that way.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know,
oh.
Because you're just like, why am I here? Why did I leave where I was comfortable? Why did I leave where people were great? You know, the viewers have been so warm and welcoming. So, like anything else, I guess, you know, just like your parents probably told you, like, look, you're going to find the good in everything at some point down the road. It might take years to find it, but, you know, just like you said, looking back, you're like, yeah, okay, I get it now. So it actually was a good thing in that it, you know, at least it showed me how other places operate. You know, you take some good things that worked over there, you bring them over here, you know, you understand other things and you're not just working in, you know, the same path. Not stop without getting out of it.
But do you hear that Fox is like, there's another opening here? I mean, you know, you've moved on. Like, how did that, how did you get back here? I think that's amazing.
It was just a perfect scenario coming together.
Wow.
It was almost freakish.
I love that. So meant to be. Oh my God.
So obviously I wasn't happy with what I was doing. I embraced it. I mean, look, I'm not like a sour grapes person. It was just like, this sucks, but let's make the most of it. And so I had a ton of experiences I never would have had anywhere else, which I embraced. And I'm very happy with that. And it actually made me a better reporter to be doing some of the things that I was doing over there. It just wasn't what I wanted to do at the time. But I took advantage of it. Looking back, hindsight, zero regret. But I was obviously looking for something else.
Sure.
And I had the blessing from them to leave if I found something else anywhere, including in D.C., which is rare.
Very. Yeah, usually you have to sign non-competes and all that. Yeah.
Right. So I was looking around, and it was just so bizarre that at the same time I had an opportunity that was working at coming together on the West Coast, and I had in L.A., all right, I had an opportunity that was working to come together in New York.
Wow.
And so I'm just like, these are the top two like media places in the country.
Oh my God.
And so I'm like, already to the point where I was just like, okay, in a dream world, if they both made the offer, where would I go? What would I do? And literally, this is all happening within a week's time. I get a phone call from someone here saying that something might be available. So I follow up on it. And that, I want to say, was on a Wednesday. and by Friday, I had a contract.
What? Oh, my God.
When does that happen?
Never.
Never.
So, I mean, clearly that was your sign. It's like, DC's my home. I'm staying here.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
that's
I'm literally insane. Like torn. And I'm like, do I go East Coast? Do I go West Coast? Do I just like pack it up, try something else? And it was like literally as I'm like in the mired in this debate, what am I going to do with my life? It was just like it all
wow.
came back together for a chance not only to stay in DC, but to come back here and be like, you know, I mean, like it literally, I think the best compliment that I got was the first day that I was here. Allison, like after we did the first show, because I didn't even like say hi to the bosses or anything. Like we literally like, cause you know, the show starts at 6 a.m,
oh,
you know,
sure.
it's like they're not here. So the first day that I was here, I came in, we did the show, we finished the show and Allison was just like, you know what? It feels like you never left.
And, totally.
And
yeah.
And that to me was just like this, it made me feel like I was back home. Like immediately made me feel like I was back home.
And so how long ago was that? How long have you been back?
You know, I was just trying to think about that today. I think it's been almost 3 years now.
So let's talk about the chemistry you have, you and Allison Seymour have. You guys have been anchoring in the morning together. How long?
Oh, my goodness. It has to be in one way or another, probably 8 years now. I don't know. If I've been here for 12, she's been here longer. And
why?
We've been like on and off all the time. I don't know.
In lots of ways behind the scenes, you guys are very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're a guy.
I'm a guy. She's a girl.
Woman. She's
married with 3 kids. Yeah. I'm not.
Okay. How, why is there such magic chemistry there, do you think?
You know what? It's funny because we've talked about this before. We've tried to figure things out. You know, I think it's just like, how do you describe like your best friend? Like how they became your best friend? You
yeah,
know, it's
just a chance
like,
meeting. Yeah.
Sometimes you just like you click with somebody and you immediately feel that trust with them, and you know you just it's not even like you have everything in common. You know, it's like sometimes you just you respect their opinion though, and you respect the differences. You work together on things, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's any magic formula. I think sometimes it literally is just a chemistry that is just there. And I think just like a relationship, you meet that person that is right for you. So I hear it's just like bang.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
You know, and it just like comes together. And I think it's just the same way with her. And once that happened, now we just had years to grow together, you know, and we're literally like, look, she just turned 50 this year. I'm a little younger than her. But we're like an old married couple right now, pretty much.
Yes.
Because we like finish each other's sentences. We like say the same things at the same time.
What does that make Tucker, your child? Or are you guys more of like a threesome?
He's our child. No. Please, Sarah.
Sorry.
He's our child that should be in timeout.
Oh, I can't wait to have Tucker on. I mean, all these years working with him, you know, Tucker comes off as a slight curmudgeon. Is that accurate? Or is that like, it works. The
you know what's
is
so
great.
Funny? This is the funniest thing about Tucker. And, I love him to death, obviously.
Yes, I know you two are actually very close and very good friends in real life.
We are, but I'll tell you what, we are polar opposites as
really?
Far as the way we grew up, our personalities and everything. So again, we're really good friends, but we're not the same person.
Wow.
But I will say this, the funny thing about Tucker is obviously we give him a hard time.
Oh, about everything, it's great.
He starts everything. All we're doing is responding to him, and we get so much crap from like viewers that are like, leave him alone, and he takes it and runs with it.
Oh my God, really?
Oh my
I
goodness.
Didn't realize he gets so much empathy, really?
Oh my goodness. They're like, you guys need to ease up on Tucker. And we're just like, no. Sarah, just sit in the studio sometime and don't say a word. Like pretend like you're like we don't even see you and just wait. Just wait.
Well, the three of you just have such great... The whole thing works so, so well. And, I mean, it must just be nice. Like, you've seemed very comfortable, like, in your job. And that must be a great feeling.
It's immeasurable. It really is. Because, I've worked with... I've anchored with people that... You know, in the past that I just, there was no chemistry.
Oh, I know. It's so hard. You can't fake it. People don't...
Maybe you had that on the radio, you know?
Yes.
You're just like, everything's
oh my God.
Forced and... It's just not there. And
it's
if
torture.
You find somebody that, I don't know for you, like working with somebody else, what it's like, but for me, it's just like, it's the trust factor. And it's just like, if I know that I can trust you, you know, if I slip up, you're going to pick me up or whatever it is. And we're not going to fight over things except in like a family fun way or whatever. That makes such a huge difference.
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, you never want to leave that environment because you know what it's like to be in the opposite
yeah.
environment. So do I. It's so.
It makes it like work.
Ugh. It's torture. It's torture. That's why when you find people that you can work with, like the chemistry you guys have, it's like you never want to leave it.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me ask you this, because I've thought about this, I've observed, I've obviously known you for several years. And I think there's a real double standard that happens here at Fox. Like, you and Tucker kind of get a lot of heat about your relationships, or, like, have you ever been married? I don't even remember.
Nope.
Okay, never been married. So I feel like if it was a woman that they were sort of always jabbing about girlfriends or going out all the time or, you know, not being married, you'd have, like, a real outrage. But you sort of are that, you get a lot of that, and... Mm-hmm. What is your take on that whole thing? Like, I know it must be difficult, I feel like, at this point.
I don't, if it's, and again, it comes down to the comfort level. So if somebody, it's just like anything else. Look, if your friends are giving you a hard time and they're just jabbing you and you know that there's nothing mean-spirited behind it, they're just your friends, right, your buddies, and they're giving you a hard time, I'm 100% fine with that whatsoever. If it's somebody that's not your buddy and they give you a hard time, then you're just like, "What? Wait, what is going on here? Like, I don't need this right now." So, I don't mind it. As long as it's in a fun-natured kind of way, say whatever you want. Because I think that, you know, you have to have some kind of humor and everything. And I don't take it too seriously. I don't take life too seriously.
But do you feel like, what's the perception from viewers? Like, do you get viewers writing in? Because I feel like over the years, there's been this kind of like, oh, well, Stephen Tucker are players, or you guys are out all the time. I mean, has that bothered you?
It does, yeah, because it's, I think, like anything else, it's, you know, we're in this Twitter universe where you see 140 characters and you make a judgment based on it.
Right, okay? Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing with TV. It's like you see how we act when we're on our best behavior in our personal environment or whatever it is, our professional environment, I mean, on TV, and then you make a judgment as to how we must act when we're not on TV or whatever it is. So, because you don't see 360 degrees of me,
right,
then if somebody makes a statement that's inaccurate, then that viewer is going to use that as, you know, they perceive that as reality, and then they take that and they run with it. So I don't like that.
Right. Yeah.
So, right. So if somebody's making a comment that's not true, I'm going to call you on it.
Yeah.
But if it's like Tucker saying, oh, yeah, we were out at the club Friday night. Well, first of all, we're not out at the club on Friday night, okay? We're like way too old for that. And okay. He even jokes about, oh, the old days when we were at a club. I was like, no, we would be there for like 20 minutes, get bored, and leave. So, you know, it's, we kind of joke at it a little bit because it kind of shows, like, okay, a little personality. But you're right. The risk you have is if people believe that that's true, then,
yeah, does,
you know,
that bother you?
Yeah, it bothers me. I don't want people saying things that are not true.
So do you have any regrets not getting married? Like, is that on your list? Or is it just like one of those things, if it happens, it happens?
It was always on the list. Now, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think it depends on the mood, the situation, you know, whatever it is that is going on. But yeah, no, I still think I'd like it to happen.
Okay.
I think you go through, obviously, stages.
Yeah.
I think it was like most people when I was like growing up, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to be married at like 23 or 25, you know. And I mean, I almost was at that point in my life. And it didn't happen. And then I took a break and then kind of went through that a couple more times, you know, in my life where... Pardon me, you know, it got to that point and it didn't happen. But I think there's a certain age range where you're okay being single and you're like, I can go climb mountains. If I want to go climb mountains, I can go do whatever I want. But I'm pretty sure from what I can deduce that there's also a certain point in your life where it's better to be with somebody.
Oh, like at what age? Like 60? Like,
I don't even know. I don't think I would. I don't know if 60 is the time to start thinking about settling down. I think it might have to be a little bit earlier. Yeah, I would think so.
Oh my God. Okay. I want to ask you a couple other questions. Apparently, we have to clear up more of these rumors. Are you a musician at all? Do you play drums or something? I've heard that around here.
I started out playing drums when I was in high school.
Okay.
And the benefit of living in the country, I could play them as loud as I wanted, and I would really only tick off two neighbors because that's all they could hear. But I did play, but not, you know, it was just a hobby.
Okay.
And then we had a couple, like, some bands in college that really didn't go anywhere, but we played a few parties, that type of stuff. So I did play the drums then, and then when I got out of school, like I was saying before, traveling around, trying to find work, et cetera, I was like, I can't, like, what do you want to do, pack up drums and live in an efficiency apartment somewhere with a drum set? That's, like, so stepbrothers, it's just not going to work.
Oh my God, that would be great. So you don't keep it up now?
I don't. Actually, it's funny. My drum set is still at my parents' house, and I was just back there last weekend. I was like looking at it, and I was just like in various stages of disarray. And I was like, one of these days, I'm going to clean this up. And no, I'm not. Probably not ever going to do that. But I haven't played drums in a while. So when I started moving around, I picked up an old guitar and tried to teach myself to play guitar. So I still play a little bit of guitar, but I think I'm better at buying them and collecting them than I am at playing them.
Got it.
But it's awesome post-work therapy to just like play, even for like 10 minutes at night. And
I bet.
Just kind of play a little bit. But yeah, my parents are both musicians, so it kind of ran in the family. So I was kind of a huge disappointment to them, I think, that I didn't go the straight musician route.
Really?
Yeah, they made a living out of it.
And they did? Wow. Yeah, they have a nice house in Pennsylvania, so obviously it worked out.
Let's keep in mind where the house is.
Granted, it's out, you know, in Lancaster County, but you know,
it's almost in Ohio, and it basically costs probably what a car would cost these days. But no, it's nice, and they're great, and my parents are supremely talented musicians.
Wow!
So I feel like it's in me somewhere.
Yeah.
It just never really like.
That might be your next act. Yeah.
But I love it. I've dabbled in trying to write some stuff and played a little guitar, and you know, between that and the drums, it's like it's all good.
I think you already answered this, but you were not an amateur weightlifter, right?
I just
in very good shape.
No friends for years and just worked out all the time.
Well, and also you covered the WWE for a while, you were inspired.
No, I didn't cover the WWE. I covered Kurt before he went in the WWE. So that kind of went that way. But I was living in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and nothing against Wilkes-Barre, but, you know, when you're 24 years old and you're just hey, I want to do things, there wasn't a lot to do, and, you know, I didn't have the money. So I was like, well, I was able to get a gym membership through work, and I was like, well, they're paying for my gym. Let me take advantage of it. So I was in better shape then, for sure.
I hope you're scrolling through, because I also heard that you like used to rock like a great mullet. Was that radio days or TV days?
Oh, I had a wicked mullet. I'm trying to find you some pictures. I might have to just like tweet them out at some point. I should have just favorited them before I came in here so that you could see them all, because I know I was just looking at them the other day.
Okay, my last question before you, I want you to leave our listeners with some advice. And
that was from my first radio job, Sarah. I'm showing her a nice mullet picture.
Oh my God, Steve, you look so good. That is hysterical. That is a seriously awesome mullet.
You can describe it to your podcast viewers as much as you like.
It's interesting because it almost, the top actually ironically almost looks like a small afro, and the bottom is a mullet. It's actually, okay, I'm not really sure what's going on.
Trust me, I was not sure what was going on there.
By the way, you and Tucker look really good. You look very young. So what's the secret to youth here? Do you put something on your skin? Do you do Botox? You look so
good. I don't. I mean,
I mean, honestly, do people think you're like 34, 35? You look super young all the time.
I think that, obviously, look, pretty much the stress that I've absorbed in life is through work. I don't have a family, which, again, looking back, it would be awesome to have a family right now. No, I think it would be great. But do I think that I would look as young if I had a family right now? Maybe not. I'm just saying.
That's the secret.
Just being honest with you. I don't know if I would, because, you know, I think when I was younger, I put a lot of effort into, you know, being in shape. Because I was like the 98-pound weakling in high school, you know? I mean, you hear the story over and over again. And I was semi-athletic. I could make a team, but I wasn't going to star on the team, you know? And so once I got off on my own, I was just like, all right, well, let me do something I can do on my own.
So you and Tucker don't get together on the weekends and give each other Botox injections.
That we do. That's very true.
Because Tucker also looks so good. I'm like, dude, you look amazing. Oh my God, Steve. Okay, seriously, you could have been in the WWE. First of all, Steve has on some white shorts that are super tight on his thighs.
They're super tight.
Why do you have no hair on your body? Did you shave back then? What's going on?
I am gifted with not a lot of body hair.
Oh my God.
And good skin. I feel like that's what I have been gifted with in life.
You do. You really do.
I haven't made a career out of that, but I don't feel like. But no, I don't know, Sarah. I just got lucky, I guess, with like decent skin and.
It is totally worked for you. You have not aged.
The mind. You know, you have to think young,
really?
Too.
Really? Oh, okay.
No, you have to. Well, come on. You look great. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, I see that look on your face right now.
I don't know if I'm going to age as well as you, but we'll see.
Whatever.
All right. I want to ask you some other big questions here.
Do it up.
What do you think the next DC sports team will be to win a championship?
Oh, that's a great question.
Who's going to go all the way
Caps.
First? The Caps.
Caps are going to do it.
The Caps will do it. When do you think? This year, next year? What's your prediction?
Within the next 2 years. Got to do it while Obi's still here. Have to.
Got it.
Have to.
Steve, I feel like your best years are ahead. Where is Steve Chenevy 5 years from now?
I mean, probably in reality here,
okay.
Unless somebody has anything to say. But, you know, I mean, that's one of the nice things to know about having tested the waters before. You know, it's just sometimes you have to do that to realize what it is that you have and what it is that you enjoy. So I definitely enjoy the people I work with here, and I enjoy the people that we have running the show here, and I enjoy the shows that we do here, and they're all different to the fact where it always is a variety in the morning, maybe sometimes too much of a variety in the morning, but there's always a variety in the morning because, you know, we're all over the place. But, you know, look, the goal on TV is to find something for everybody because...
Yeah, sure. You know, get a lot of... You have a lot to appeal to.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a cable station that's only targeting one demographic or one person. You know, we ideally will appeal to every single person in the D.C. region.
Okay, last question.
Yes, my friend.
What is the best advice that you would pass on?
The best
to
advice?
To someone listening this
gonna,
to this podcast.
This is going
to
be so cheesy. I can just already tell. It's going to be oozing with cheese.
No, I love cheese. Please.
Let's see. I will say the same thing that I say to people when they say, how can I be better on TV? And that is, are you ready for the cheese?
Yes.
You have to be yourself. You absolutely have to be yourself.
That's good.
You can take advice from other people. You can emulate other people. You can do research on other people. But if you're not true to yourself, it is going to come across so fake. And people can smell fake a mile away.
Yes.
And you can't do that. So you have to just work hard, you know, be ready for whatever is out there. All the, you know, cliche stuff. Don't lose sight of your goal, whatever it is. But it's true. I mean, you can't. I would have given up like 2 decades ago, honestly, if I felt like this is getting too hard for me and I don't want to do it. But you have to, if you really have something you're passionate about, then you just can't let anything get in the way, and you just have to fight around it.
That's great advice. That's not cheesy at all.
That's kind of cheesy.
Please. I thought it would be something like, oh, you know, shoot for the stars, and then you'll, or, I mean, whatever, aim for the
moon.
Why
didn't I think of that?
Shoot for the moon. You'll land among the stars. People tell me all that. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, I don't want to go to the fucking moon. Like, why are you, like, no. Okay. All right.
Well, if you shoot for the moon, if you shoot for the moon or shoot for the stars and land on the moon, you're kind of underachieving by, like, a huge amount.
With my luck, I'll aim for the moon, like, end up in Mars or Jupiter. I won't be able to get cell.
You wouldn't live on the moon if you could?
No, hell no.
Why?
No. I want it to be sunny all the time, please.
Maybe it's sunny there.
No, I don't think so. That's depressing. All right, Steve, lastly, where can people follow you online? Where can they get more of you?
I made it. I don't know how much you want. You just saw the pictures.
Yes.
I don't think you need that.
They're so good.
We'll have to see. Maybe we can post some at some point. I made it super hard for people because it's my name. So Twitter, @ Steve Chenevy. Facebook is, I think, Steve Chenevy Fox 5.
Okay.
And nobody else ever spells my name right. So it's Chenevy.
Yeah, it's that
lots
extra N. Chen.
Yeah. Yes.
I always mix that up, too.
I know.
Too.
I've got 1,000 ways.
I just want to spell it Chevy. Steve Chevy.
I feel like you know me, sir.
No,
you've been to my house before. You saw how I organized my ties.
I should know this. I know.
But yeah, it's my name on all the social media. I think the only one is Facebook. It's just Steve Chenevy Fox 5.
Awesome. And then you're there Monday through Friday with Allison. What do you guys start? 4:30?
No, Al and I go on at 6.
You're
so
on at 6,
yeah,
okay.
They have to stagger because the show's 6.5 hours long now, which is
brutal.
I mean, something we never would have thought of years ago. That like there's that much desire for like a news program or entertainment, whatever it is. Even I don't know. But yeah, so Allison and I go on at 6.
Okay.
And then we'll do the news 6 to 9, and then 9 to 11 is good day.
Fabulous.
So five hours straight through. Please watch. Please listen.
Yes, please. And how was this podcast? Was this easy or what?
No, Sarah, come on. I mean, this is the morning mess. Steve and Sarah's morning mess. How
all
can
right.
you go wrong?
It's 94.7, and Steve and I are signing off for... We're just now the mess.
Just a mess.
We don't even remember our show name.
Not even hot anymore, just a mess.
Steve, we'll see you tomorrow morning for sports.
Not Sarah.
And to hear more of me, Sarah, you can catch my other podcast, Hey Frage, on iTunes. That's HEYFRASE.